Our show is supported by Be My Guest with Ina Garten, Ina's official podcast from Food Network, back for its fourth season. On every episode, Ina invites a different friend to her home in the Hamptons to talk about life, love, and career, all while cooking up an amazing meal. Join Ina as she crafts a classic cocktail with journalist Frank Bruni and discusses the ins and outs of Yorkshire pudding with actress Emily Mortimer. If you're looking for great conversations about and over good food, tune in to Be My Guest with Ina Garten. Listen to Be My Guest with Ina Garten wherever you get your podcasts.
This week, we're launching our new series, The Key Three, conversations with good cooks about the three recipes they think every good cook should know. It's a fun project for us and, interestingly, very revealing about the cooks. Take this week's guest, Andy Ricker. Andy fell for the street food of northern Thailand in his backpacking days, so he learned the language, built contacts among cooks there, and started bringing back ingredients. He opened a street stand at his house in Portland, Oregon, and he called it Pok Pok. Well, in 2007, that stand was named the best restaurant in Portland. Then came the Whiskey Soda Lounge, and now two Pok Poks in New York. Well, we met up with Andy in the kitchen at Whiskey Soda Lounge.
1, 2, 3, not only you and me, got 180 degrees and I'm caught in between, counting 1, 2, 3, Peter, Paul, and Mary, getting down with 3P, everybody loves ocean.
Andy, it's good to see you again.
Good to see you too.
So what are your key three recipes?
My key three recipes are jasmine rice, boiled egg, and steamed fish.
Why jasmine rice, boiled egg, and steamed fish? Why those three?
Because jasmine rice is the, or rice in general, is the basis of all Thai cuisine. Thai food is almost always eaten with rice, and it's more important than any other aspect of the Thai cuisine.
A boiled egg.
Well, to me, the egg is kind of the perfect food. You don't have to really do much to it, and it's very versatile. You can make it into lots of different shapes and textures, and to me, a perfectly boiled egg is beautiful for breakfast or in a soup on top of rice as a snack anytime.
Okay. Yeah. And then steamed fish. We don't steam fish in this country.
We don't seem to steam food very much, and it's one of the great techniques of cooking. And in Asian cuisines, steaming is very, very important and probably as popular or as common as frying or baking. So if you visit a typical home kitchen in Southeast Asia, what you typically would find is you don't have a lot of appliances. You might just have a single charcoal burner or a single gas burner.
Uh-huh.
And so in order to prepare a meal, you're either cooking one thing at a time and sort of setting it aside and then cooking the next thing. With steaming, you can have layers of steamers. You can cook a whole meal on one stove. At one time, so you could have your fish in there, and then maybe above that you might have
another tray, right?
And maybe you might have something wrapped in banana leaves above that, and you can steam it all at once, and then you have a complete meal.
That's right, because you buy steamers, and they have pans that sit on top of pans on top of pans, so you've got one source of heat, and you make an entire meal.
Sure.
Yeah. Show me how you steam a fish.
Okay, so the first thing we do is we make sure we've got a nice hot steamer going.
Okay.
Typically we use a Chinese-style round steamer, but you could use any kind of steamer you want.
You have a steamer, by the way, on a burner
exactly,
the size
yes.
of a baseball field. We're in the restaurant kitchen here. Okay, but we could be using a pot with just a rack in it.
Exactly,
right,
yeah.
Over the burner. All right.
So what I like to do is first just clean the fish.
You've got a fish here, a whole fish.
It's already gutted, actually, for our
Yeah, so
pleasure
okay,
here.
But this is, it's got the head on, the tail on, and everything
exactly.
on. Exactly.
Okay. And basically all we do is just score the fish in about 1-inch length, you know, sort of intervals down the whole side of the fish, right down to the bone.
Okay, so you're just taking a cleaver and you're making cuts down the side of the fish, but the fish is still whole.
The fish is still
and
whole.
And it looks gorgeous, by the way.
Yeah, and this is a red tilapia.
But it could be any whole fish.
It could be any whole fish, a trout or sea bass or Any kind of nice firm-fleshed fish works best. If you get a fish that's too soft, like a mackerel or something, like, doesn't steam up that well.
Yeah, and when you try to get it out, it gets right. It falls apart and you feel very depressed.
Exactly.
Yeah. So now what are we going to do with this whole fish?
So now we're putting it on a large plate that it's going to go into the steamer on, and we're going to add some flavoring elements into it. I'm kind of winging this one. This is going to be kind of a Thai Chinese style tasting thing. So you can pretty much be pretty free with your different ingredients, and it's pretty simple. So anyway, we're going to start with a little bit of garlic and chili. And I'm just going to kind of rub that onto the fish a little bit.
What could be bad?
And we've also got some ginger and green onions.
So you're just sprinkling that over the top?
Yeah, just sprinkling it right over the top.
And you smeared the garlic and chili over the fish?
Yeah, and you could just put slices of garlic in there. It'd be fine, too. And then also we're going to add a little bit of sugar to sweeten up the broth, because the soy sauce that we're about to add is quite salty.
Okay.
And then we're just going to add a little bit of soy sauce. And then finally you've got a little bit of white pepper. This is the Thai version, so it's kind of a mild white pepper. It's not as strong as the stuff we get here.
Uh-huh.
So a fair amount of it goes on there for good flavor. And then to this we might add a little bit of pork stock. Makes it taste really kind of full, adds a little umami to it.
Right.
Or you can just use the water that's going to come from the steaming. You don't necessarily have to do a whole fish, though I believe that using the whole fish adds a lot of flavor, because you've got the skin, you've got the fat from the head, and the bones in there. I think any kind of meat or fish or poultry on the bone just has a deeper, more complex and delicious flavor. So
it also looks beautiful.
It does, yeah. Okay, so we're just going to... There's not much technique to this. We're just boiling water and steam, and we just drop the fish in there.
There it is.
Set it and forget it.
So how long do you figure it needs to cook? How do you figure that?
I'm going to set a timer for about 10 minutes. We've got about a pound and a half fish in there. It's we've scored it,
right,
which allows the steam to enter a little more easily.
Uh-huh.
So I'm, you know, just from experience, it's about 10 to 12 minutes. So we'll check it at 10 minutes. If it's not all the way done, we'll add a couple more minutes.
So while the fish is cooking, let's talk about jasmine rice. So what's the right way to do jasmine rice?
Well, jasmine rice is a particular variety of rice that has this beautiful aroma that smells faintly of jasmine.
Yeah.
But there's no actual
yeah.
jasmine in it. There's some kind of compound in the rice. And uh-huh. it's a relatively delicate smell and flavor. So you want to be gentle with the rice to start with. So you rinse the rice using a bowl and use your fingers to gently kind of wash the rice and move it around so that you're washing some of the starch off the outside of it.
Uh-huh.
Maybe change the water a couple times till it's not, you know, till it's running fairly clear.
Right.
And at that point, you drain it out and let all the water drain out, okay, in a colander,
uh-huh.
so that you can get the ratio of water correct in the rice cooker or pot that you cook it in. So there's a trick. You can either measure quantity of rice to water which would be approximately twice the amount of water as rice.
One cup rice, volume. 2 cups water.
Approximately.
Right. Yeah.
But there's a trick that you can do, which is that you can put it into your rice cooker or your pot and fill it with water so that the water comes up, if you're touching the top of the rice,
right.
the water comes up to the top of your first knuckle.
Oh, so I put my finger in the rice, no matter how long my finger
let's,
is.
Well, let's do a little experiment here.
Uh-huh.
Look at, it turns out that most people's first knuckle is about the same length.
I'm close.
Of your forefinger.
I'm really
it's pretty close.
Right, okay.
Right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's, yeah, you're right.
You count your fingernail anyway.
That's so. Really amazing. Yeah, you're right. We've just put our forefingers next to each other, and by gum, you're right.
They're pretty close.
So it's
so
just that
it's about an
water.
Inch above the rice.
Okay.
And then you turn it on and bring it to a boil, and then you turn it down. If you're doing it in a pot,
yeah.
bring it to boil, then turn it down to a simmer and just cover it and let it go.
Very low?
Just sort of like a medium-low
right,
simmer.
Right.
And if you're using a rice cooker, you just push the button.
That's a nice way to, yes, okay.
And there's no reason not to use a rice cooker. Rice cooker's easy. They're cheap to get. Everybody in Asia uses them now.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one more trick. When the rice cooker's done and it pops and goes and says warm, leave it like that for 25 to 30 minutes. Don't touch it.
And with a pot, the same thing. Pull it off
exactly.
the stove.
Exactly. Just pull it off the stove and let it sit for 25 to 30 minutes. And what happens is the rice kind of cures down a little bit, and some of the steam dissipates. And it gives a chance for the rice to kind of each individual grain to kind of form its own little world there. I don't know how to say it better than that. but essentially, it keeps it from being too sticky and too mushy. And then when you pull the top off, you fluff the rice using a fork, just gently kind of fluff
You don't
it.
Crush it in any way, though.
No.
You want to do the fluff thing.
You just fluff it, yeah.
And now, jasmine is a long grain rice?
That's correct, yeah.
So that has that starch that does fluff.
Yes.
It doesn't stick together.
Right, exactly. And a beautifully made Thai jasmine rice will be kind of bouncy, soft, very, very aromatic. But unlike basmati rice, it's not loose. You know, it kind of vaguely sticks together.
And it's usually, isn't it served in a basket?
That would be sticky rice.
Oh, that's the sticky rice.
Sticky rice.
So how do you use the jasmine rice in Thailand?
Typically, it's center to your meal. So you might just have the rice cooker on the table and everybody just kind of helps themselves. Or it'd be a bowl. Or people would just go to the rice pot, take some, put it on their plate. And then you have several different dishes in the middle of the table. You kind of help yourself to a little bit at a time.
Now, this is something I've always found interesting. Do you eat rice? Would you put that other dish, spoon the dish on top of your rice and eat it? Or is the rice something you eat between bites of those other dishes?
Well, what you typically see in Thailand is, like I said, like you have this array of dishes. And you might take a little bit, like a tablespoon at a time, put it on your plate, either on the side of the rice or next to the rice, and then you scoop some of the rice into it. Now, if you dump it right on top of the rice, you basically made the rice taste like whatever it is you just dumped on top of it.
And now you can't do anything with it with the other dishes.
Yeah, you kind of lose that kind of clean rice flavor that goes with everything. Now, there are places where there's a called Ran Khao Gang or Lat Khao, which means curry rice shop or on rice, where you literally go in and they just dump it right on the rice.
But that's a dish.
That's basically a specific dish.
Like
it's a lunch thing, and you're just kind of eating quick.
You know? Yeah, right. So that's how we do jasmine rice.
That's how we do jasmine.
It sounds like you just sit down, eat a bowl of jasmine rice, and it's dynamite.
Well, in Thailand, you'll see that people eat a lot of rice and a little bit of the other things that go with it. And rice is, like I said, it forms the majority of the meal.
It's the core. What's the deal with eggs? I mean, you pick that as one of your key three.
I think eggs are kind of a perfect food. They're very, very easy to prepare. But there's some tricks that you can use to make them come out really consistently.
For instance,
we all start with a room temperature egg. And then when we drop it into the boiling water and set the timer, we know that it's always going to come out at this exact kind of consistency. Because if it's been refrigerated, it might be at 35 degrees or it might be at 41 degrees. But you're at room temperature. You're going to be around 70
degrees.
We're
talking the hard-cooked egg or the soft-cooked egg
here.
Yes.
So if you start with a room temp, you can say at 4 minutes, you get a perfectly soft-boiled egg with a runny yolk. And at 6 minutes, it's runny in the center and starting to get molten. What we like to use are 8-minute eggs, which are set but still kind of have that kind of almost molten but set. Custardy kind
yeah.
of egg. And the whites are this beautiful kind of soft, translucent, not overcooked. Doesn't get that kind of really chewy outer whites.
I have to confess, I don't think I've ever heard anyone make a boiled egg sound that sexy. Never. So do you have other tricks with cooking the egg?
Yeah, we actually age the eggs. So we'll get them in from the farm, and we'll let them sit for about a week before we cook them. Because what that does is, after you cook them, it's a lot easier to peel if they're a little bit, if they've been sitting for a while.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right, because that white starts to collect itself.
Exactly.
And it doesn't want to stick to the shell when you go to shell
it. And the other thing we do is that we pull the eggs out of the water. When the timer goes off, we immediately pull them out of the water and shock them in an ice bath to stop the cooking process.
Does that mean that they get shocked and they pull away from the shell? I'm picturing the eggs going, nah, no more.
Right.
Yeah, that kind of thing. But that does make it easier.
Yeah, so when you put the boiled eggs directly into an ice bath, it just brings the temperature down quickly so that it arrests the cooking process. Because if you were to cook them for that perfect 8 minutes, pull them out, and then let them go to room temperature, they're going to maintain the heat in the egg, and they'll continue to cook
right.
afterwards. So you won't end up with that beautiful molten yolk.
Are those eggs, once they're shelled, ever cooked further in a sauce in Thai food?
There's a dish called Kai Luk Kai, which means son-in-law eggs, where you actually boil the eggs, peel them, and then deep fry them without breading them or anything like that. You just deep fry the boiled egg, and it gets this nice kind of crispy crust on the outside. Then you slice them open and put like a sweet tamarind and chili sauce over the top and eat it as a drinking snack.
You know, when you think about how much an egg costs and what you can do with it, this is really amazing. This is great.
Okay. So let's just kind of take a peek at the fish here. I'm going to mix all the aromatics into the sauce. Yeah. And
just
first,
scrape it off the top, right?
Just taste the sauce a little bit.
Well, I'm not going to be able to speak for a few moments, but that sauce is delicious. Now, I've heard Thai food is some of the hottest food in the world, and this is very hot, but the sauce has that sweet, salty, complicated deliciousness. The meat looks incredible.
So yeah, it's very, very tender and juicy. And again, this might be a little spicy, but I'm gonna give you a little bite here.
Thank you. I thought you'd never ask. Oh, the meat is like it's just melting in my mouth, and it's so delicate. Do you know, this is the thing that I think is remarkable about this food. You have this intense spice, and you have a very delicate fish, and yet for some reason it works together. It does not kill the taste of the fish.
Right.
And I don't understand really why it works that way.
Well, the steaming technique, you're not stepping on the flavor of the fish by frying it, so you're not adding that element of oil flavor and fry flavor. So you just got the pure flavor of the fish itself. It's also combined with the sauce. So it's all kind of enhancing the different flavors, and it mixes together.
The thing about this is, really, I could put this fish on a plate, have those seasonings on the fish, and have this in a steamer in probably easily just 10 minutes, and 10 minutes later I could be sitting down and eating it with a family.
As long as you started the rice before you started the fish.
That's a good point, yes. Okay. Hey, Andy, thank you.
It's my pleasure. I'm glad you were able to come in today.
Now we're going to eat.
Okay.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.